Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We're turning to Luke chapter 12, and we'll continue our study of the parable known as the parable of the rich fool. We started the study of this parable, the last time we were together. And we spent a little time considering just what covetousness is, because the chief aim of this parable is to combat covetousness. We explained to you that covetousness is a desiring, a wanting of that which we don't have, but others have. And because they have it, we'd like it. And it leads on not only to improper thoughts of greed, etc., but it prompts people to take unlawful action in order to obtain that which they don't have but feel they should have. And because they want it, well, they feel they have every right to taking it. That's a very common phrase today, you know. I have a right. I have a right. And that leads people to stealing and laying hands on that which is not theirs. But because they want it, they feel that makes it all right for them to take. And the Savior is combating covetousness here. And look at the verse 15 of chapter 12 of Luke. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You might have your hands full, your pockets full, your cupboards full, your home filled with things you desire, and yet not have life. Not have life. You're too young yet to realize that that truth is emphasized again and again and again and again and again in the news. Here and there you will read of a famous man or woman who have millions of pounds taking their own life, ending their life, sometimes accidentally and sometimes deliberately. Accidentally because they were under the influence of some drug or other and did something that was entirely foolish. Just yesterday, a man who, under the influence of drugs, fell out of a hotel window and died. He had everything you would imagine to make his life successful, but everything he had didn't satisfy him, and so he resorted to drugs to find a little joy, a little peace, a little satisfaction, and under the influence of that which he had taken, he foolishly brought about the end of his own life. And there's others deliberately take their own lives. They can't live any more with the grief, the sorrow, the misery, the emptiness that their life consists of, yet their bank balances are filled with money. What the Savior says is right. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that's the lesson that I want to get across to you. Because we're all born with an ambition to get as much of this world's goods as we possibly can, thinking that by getting them, we'll satisfy ourselves. But that's not the case. That's only covetousness at work. And it's at work among boys and girls. It's at work among mommies and daddies, aunties and uncles. It's among ministers and missionaries. It's found everywhere. This spirit of discontentment with what we have. And I want more. Or I want what I haven't got. And I'll never be satisfied till I get what I haven't got. And of course, if we do manage to get what we don't have today, we discover we're still not content. I want us to chiefly look at some verses in God's Word today, emphasizing what the Savior says here in the verse 15. Take heed. Oh, I can't repeat this enough. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We need to be reminded of this every day. There's more to life than the things which we may possess or think that if we did possess would make us happy. What this really means, what the Savior is saying here is, be not anxious about obtaining wealth, for however much you may obtain, it will not lengthen your life here on earth, nor will it bring to you eternal life after you die. There's two verses that I thought of this morning. They're in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'd like to share them with you. Matthew chapter 11, and we're looking at the verse 5. Here the Lord Jesus is answering the anxious query of John the Baptist's disciples. They're wondering, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one that Israel has been waiting for? And the answer the Savior gives here in verse 5 is, show these things to John. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. All of these things only the Messiah could do. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Now look at another verse in Matthew. Turn over to chapter 19. And it helps us just to understand what the Savior is emphasizing here in the message he sent to John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 19 and the verse 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now put those two verses together. The poor have the gospel preached to them. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The poor will listen to the gospel. The rich are too busy going after more riches, coveting more riches. That's what occupies them. And therefore, it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, occupied as he is with his riches, to enter into the kingdom of God by listening to the gospel message. He's interested in something else. Oh, I tell you, covetousness is a dreadful disease. If it has its way, it'll cost you your soul. It'll hinder you getting to heaven. And we need to understand that very clearly. Now, as I say, we want to look at a number of verses. They're all collected together in 1 Timothy. Would you turn to it, please? 1 Timothy. And we're looking at chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're looking at the verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now that's an important yet simple truth. When you were born, you had nothing, nothing. And when we die, we will have nothing. There's a statement made oftentimes by preachers just to emphasize this truth. You know what a shroud is, don't you? That's the cloth, the garment that they wrap the dead in. And preachers often emphasize a simple truth. They say there's no pockets in a shroud. In other words, you'll not carry anything away with you when you depart this world. And that's what we're told here. Therefore, how foolish it is to spend your whole life laying hands upon and seeking after that which you can never take into eternity. It's not going to benefit you in eternity. Better for us, therefore, to think of that which will benefit us in eternity. And we're talking, of course, about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that it brings. Because it brings blessing into the life that's not only for now, it does bring blessings now, immeasurable blessings. It makes you richer than anything this world can ever give you. But it's not only now that it benefits you, but in eternity. In fact, in eternity, the riches that the gospel will bring to you cannot be calculated. It cannot be calculated because for all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever, the boy or girl, a man or woman, who embraces Christ as their Savior will enjoy the blessings of the gospel forever. There's some competitions that people enter, and the prize that they can gain should they win the competition, is a very large amount of money. And they offer a very large lump sum of $1 million. Or they say, instead of giving you the lump sum, we can guarantee you 5,000 every week, 10,000 every week of your life. That's a lot of money. I don't think you could spend £10,000 every week. That's a lot of money. But it will only last as long as you live. It stops then. But God's blessings last forever and ever and ever. That's why it is most foolish to be filled with covetousness, a desire for the things of this world, and forget about the benefits and the blessings of the gospel. Rich men do that. That's why it's harder for them to get into heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Because they're so busy running after the things of earth, they turn their back upon and neglect the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, look at the next verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now there are very few people, boys and girls, who are content with just having food and clothing. Very, very few people. Very, very few people can understand the sense, the logic, the wisdom of this verse. There are people who have wardrobes filled with clothes. They have more clothes than the local department store. They're not content with one outfit. But you know the funny thing? You can only wear one suit of clothes at a time. You'd look rather funny, you know, with two pairs of trousers on and two shirts on and two jerseys on and two jackets on. Not only would you look rather funny, you'd probably be very uncomfortable. So that having clothing, that should content us. Having food, that should content us. Because you can only eat so much food. No matter what is set on the table, you can only eat so much. Oh, I know, Mother says, oh, eat up, clear your plate. And you say, but I can't eat anymore. You see what the logic is here? Men long after the things of this world, the garments, the food of this world, want more and more and more. But there's a limit to what you can possess, usefully. But oh, there's no limits to the blessings that come to us with the gospel. The Lord Jesus taught us that we should pray, give us today our daily bread. Very, very few think that their daily bread comes from God, but it does. It does. We fail to see that beyond the prosperity that we enjoy in this world is the mercy of God. When you sat down this morning to your breakfast, I hope you give thanks because your breakfast came from the Lord. It may have passed through hands before it arrived at your table, but it came from the hand of the Lord. And it is to Him we must look for our needs, and not to our own energies, and give way to our own greed, to covetousness. Look at the verse 6 of this portion. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness brings contentment, and that is a wonderful gain. That is a prize above all measure. Oh, boys and girls, may God give you understanding of what it is. We sang that lovely hymn in Lander's store. I may be poor, but bless the Lord, I've Jesus. Did you ever bless the Lord that you have Jesus, the supplier of all things? You see, if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we have the greatest of all treasures. The greatest of all treasures, the greatest of all riches, and therefore we can be content to have obtained godliness from Him, to be clothed in His righteousness. That is to be content, and thereby to have gained a great thing. Contentment is a calm and satisfied feeling, a freedom from murmuring and complaining. We're settled. I don't know if you've ever been down at the seaside lately. Probably during the summertime you were there at some time or other. Do you look out on the sea? It's moving all the time. It never ceases. But sometimes you can go to some little lake, and on a nice day, the The water is just like a mirror. There's not a movement. Those who know the meaning of these words, godliness with contentment is great gain, is like that little lake, still, quiet, satisfied. Whereas those who don't know Christ, they're like the waves of the sea, always moving, never content, never at ease, never at peace, always moving. How is it with you today? How is it with you today? Do you enjoy that contentment that this verse speaks of? Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans chapter 8, the verse 28, we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. That's contentment. Whatever happens to me, God is working out that which is for my good. How did men and women, and let me tell you, young people, teenagers, go to the place of their death, suffering as martyrs for Jesus Christ, with a song on their lips, with a smile on their face? How did they do that? Because within their heart there was contentment. They didn't feel they were being robbed of something. Their life was about to be taken away, but they weren't under the distress of feeling and losing out by so dying. No, they were smiling because they knew, I am about to enter into a fullness of blessing that I cannot even imagine. I cannot even imagine. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now time's gone. Those of you who have to learn the shorter catechism, I'd like you to look at question 81 when you go home and think about it. Because we'll think a little about it when we come together next week. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would touch hearts today. I pray, Lord, that there might not be a resisting and a rejecting of thee and of thy truth, but rather, Lord, there might be an understanding of what it is to have Christ. To be able to say, oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus. And having him, I have more than I could ever desire. Speak to each one in the school today, Lord. Bless pupils and staff and the parents at home. Undertake for us in everything we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.